Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Ken Paul, who is the CEO of Roam. Hi, Ken. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Karen. Nice to speak to you again.
So we have to stop meeting this way. Every month we talk about the developments in the mobile point of sale space, and you do a great job of giving us a lot of interesting context around the stuff we report in the MPOS tracker. But this month, I think the conversation might take a little bit of a different tact because we're starting to see something a little bit different that may be a little nascent now but could develop into something significant later, and that's this notion of the relationship between mobile wallets and mobile point-of-sale solutions. What are you seeing, and what do you think the implications are with respect to that development?
Well, I think a lot of it is following in the trends of what happened in the physical, you know, world when payments rolled out to brick-and-mortar, and even to some extent what happened in e-commerce. So I think if we look back at history, you know, there's a lot of enhancements. The first wave was just basic acceptance and having a system that worked and could be, you know, reasonably supported and had uptime and all those important things. But then you started to see a lot of value add capabilities start to come in. So we see partnerships now that are starting to form to bring some of these enhancements into mobile payments, things like, you know, fraud screening and other security levels, enhanced reporting and analytics, giving the customers a better, the merchants a better dashboard, and even the resellers to be able to look at what activity's happening and be able to put more controls and more security around the solution. So I think, and then, you know, of course, all the gift card and loyalty card and other types of transactions are starting to come in, and that means a whole bunch of partnerships with players who deliver those types of value-added services.
So who are you actually seeing seize these opportunities, and what do you think they expect to generate as a result of taking advantage of some of these new opportunities or new channels for their solutions?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the players who are active in these value-added services see the disruption and the land grab that's going on with mobile right now, and they want to be part of it. So I think it's all the players. In some cases, it's established players in the ecosystem. Take the established gift card and loyalty players, or you know, fraud and security players or analytic players that I, you know, in those categories I just mentioned. But in some cases, it's new companies that are starting up that, you know, are building their solutions just around mobile, and they're companies that didn't exist before and are just seizing the opportunity to do, bring out products in this particular area. You know, a lot of it, I think, is headed towards also an omni-channel offering. That's where a lot of the partnerships are happening because, you know, today a merchant has various, you know, different vendors that they deal with, depending whether it's physical, e-commerce, or MPOS. And there's a lot of partnerships being formed to bring those together so that, you know, a reseller and a merchant could have a more seamless experience with all of those areas.
I know, you know, the idea of mobile wallets and these opportunities to align mobile wallets with these mobile point-of-sale solutions, particularly the tablet solutions, is interesting. But since consumers obviously have to have the mobile wallet, is that really accomplishing what you think it needs to accomplish, or is that just simply the first step in trying to solve the chicken and egg problem of getting mobile wallet acceptance in some of these new environments?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that, you know, there's not a significant amount of volume, to be honest, in you know, looking at mobile wallets being accepted by mobile POS. And there's such a land grab going on the mobile POS side that, you know, that's just a very small fraction of the activity that we see out there. But without a doubt, that's going to come. So I think there's partnerships being made and integrations being done. And the key is that, you know, as people are making decisions on what they resell or what they choose on the merchant side, to have a system that has the architecture to support the integration of these different mobile wallets, because there'll be a lot of closed-loop wallets, a lot of open-loop wallets over time. And, you know, that the dust still hasn't settled on what's going to happen in that arena. So I think there's a lot of jockeying for position and partnering going on the vendor side, but in reality, the volumes are just not there yet on the transactional side, I would say.
Who are you seeing engage in some of these partnership opportunities, and are they doing different things to try to move the mobile wallet solution down the field?
Yeah, definitely. There's, I think in the MPOS tracker this month, you mentioned Revel and Square working on integrating, you know, mobile wallets into their mobile acceptance products. We here at Room are working with a number of vendors in the mobile wallet side that I won't mention the names, but, you know, preparing integrations for mainly our resellers who want that capability. And, you know, a number of months back, we saw Heartland and Level Up team up, and that's an interesting partnership out there in the market as well. So there's really all the, and PayPal, of course, is always in the forefront of both sides of that discussion. So we'll see a lot of activity from them in terms of partnering with different vendors out there in the ecosystem. So I think there's a lot of, you know, I think one of the events that everybody's been waiting for is when the Apple iPhone will really, you know, have a wallet capability, a more meaningful wallet capability that, and then we'll see all sorts of different partnerships and integrations and capabilities start to happen. I think the iPhone represents too large a chunk of the market, and it's such a proprietary environment that everybody's been waiting to see what they do. So there's rumors out that I think you've reported on that the iPhone 6 will have a new wallet capability, and I think that will be, you know, one of a few big things in the industry that will help push that effort along.
It's certainly going to be interesting the day that news breaks, for sure. Let's switch gears and talk specifically about what Roam is doing in enabling some of these partnerships. And I know the Roam MCM5 platform capability has a lot of things that enable the frictionless enablement, so to speak, of these partnerships, while maintaining, I think, the integrity of user data and things that are important to the channel. Can you elaborate a little bit on just exactly what Roam MCM5 does and how it helps these kinds of things along?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. In anticipation of some of these trends we're talking about, we basically rebuilt our system from the ground up the last 18 months or so. And it's the MCM5, as we call it, is running internationally now in a number of venues, and we're now getting ready to release it into the U.S. And it was rebuilt with one thing in mind, well, many things in mind, but one primary thrust in mind is that it be all API-driven in terms of allowing companies to use it sort of as the core engine to build around. So if someone wants a full turnkey program that includes a mobile app, boarding systems, reporting capabilities, gateway interfaces, all those things, they can use all those capabilities from Roam. However, if they want the flexibility to integrate whatever application they develop or they have developed for themselves, maybe a custom one for a niche like a charitable a niche or a DSA organization or that sort of thing. They can build around that API if they want to integrate other devices outside of Roam and Ingenico devices in the future. They could have that flexibility. They want to integrate their own boarding system or a third-party boarding or reporting systems. They can do that, integrate wallets into the architecture, integrate into the back-end side into an ERP or a CRM system. So in the past, all those things were things that, all those things I just mentioned, we have been doing in behalf of our customers and doing the development and professional services work. But the intention of this new product, the MCM5, is to have the capabilities for customers to take that into their own hands and have the flexibility, which by its virtue it means that they can really customize their own white labeled solution out to the market. And just one last point is we've also built it in a way that someone can license it as well. So they can use it in our SaaS model, or they can also migrate that into an in-house solution that they take ownership of themselves. So to our knowledge, there's nothing quite like that out in the market, and we're obviously very excited about it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a really interesting development to the platform strategy that I know has always been core to Roam. How does this MCM5 capability allow the channel to really maximize revenue opportunities around MPOS?
Well, I think that what we see now is really people are starting to focus more on verticals. There's so many different unique verticals that are taking off out in the market that as the market matures and it's becoming a more, people are looking at it more strategically, is that it's still a land grab, but there's separate grabs going on in all these different sectors. You have the retail, traditional retail use cases of people that maybe didn't take electronic payments before, or they took them but it wasn't electronic. Then you have the non-retail use cases, and there's a lot of activity there in terms of companies that are operating, like I mentioned, in charitable areas or in home sales areas or home services or just nomadic type applications, transportation, you know, whether it's airlines or taxis or limos. So there's all these services use cases as well as retail, traditional retail use cases, and those require customization for each type of use case, really. So you see a whole little ecosystem of different partnerships and vendors cropping up that are developing applications and front-end applications and back-end integrations to go after these particular segments. And each of them in themselves can be quite lucrative, so people are making a whole business around just going after, you know, one particular segment, which is also what we saw in the whole traditional POS arena, you know, in terms of people breaking up, you know, different vendors who are more successful in hospitality versus, you know, traditional retail versus petroleum C-store or grocery and those types of integrations.
It's interesting because the way this market has evolved, and it's evolved very quickly, so many of the things that were served up as features now really are expected, you know, core functionality. And I'm curious, are there things that you're hearing people ask for that surprise you, that you didn't think that they would ask for or perhaps wouldn't ask for as soon in the process of rolling out their MPOS solutions as they might be asking for today? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Most of them I'm under NDA and can't talk about, but it is amazing and not amazing at the same time in that it's become, you know, commonplace that everybody has a wish list of things they would like to get into a program, things they've been dreaming up and thinking of, and there's no end to it, really. So it's not surprising in that everybody has a lot of brainstorming going on that's very, very creative. And the question is, which ones are really going to add value to the merchant and consumer experience and worthwhile to develop and bring to market. And again, that's a key of allowing us to open up the system so everybody can, you know, play with it and be able to add some of these things that, you know, in some cases are just throwing things at the wall. And I'm trying to think what some of the there's so many different examples, but most of them have been shared with us under NDA, so I think I have to respect that.
Yeah, no, it's it is interesting that when you create a platform like it sounds like you've done with MCM5, you really do push innovation out to the edge so that those that have their wish list have an environment where they can tinker with your APIs and develop something that solves a particular problem for either that organization or something that's specific to that vertical. So hopefully soon we'll be able to hear more about that because it's become less of a wish list item and it's more mainstream.
But I guess there's two examples that come to mind. There's a lot of use cases where people collect signatures for non-payment items. It could be HIPAA-related, or it could be for a medical application, or it could be contractor-related when they come up to a home or small business. And the electronification of signatures and storage and retrieval capabilities and feeding those into a back-end system, whereas today a lot of those those documents are paper-based. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge amount of value just in adding in the electronification of the signatures for a lot of different cases. And another thing we see is tracking of employees, you know, where they're actually taking advantage of having a mobile app and a swiper on the phone where they can actually swipe a card and it tracks where they are and what they're doing. You know, think of the pool service person that, you know, maybe gets into a dispute where they say the customer says they weren't out at their location and now they can actually swipe their card and it does a geolocation and records, you know, where they're at what hours. So there's some interesting things going on out there.
That's pretty cool. Do you track your employees at Roam that way, Ken?
Very closely.
Okay.
down to the minute.
All right. Well,
no,
that's
not really.
It's good to know that you're at least putting your own solutions to work in your own backyard.
Not really, but it sounds good.
Well, listen, Ken, it was great to catch up with you and get your perspective on the latest and greatest in the land of mobile point of sale. So we look forward to catching up again in a couple of weeks and see where we are then. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye.